Three security guards were down, one maybe 10 feet from the stairs, the other two on the stairway itself. They had fallen separately in the darkness. I'd passed several other bloodstains that had almost certainly been fatal to their donors, unless the falling water had made them look more extensive than they actually were. I'd never encountered Hobbs face to face before, but I knew enough about them to hope that whoever had spilled that blood was dead. Hobbs had a habit of hauling victims back into their lightless tunnels. I shuddered. I'd give the troubleshooters from Summer that much. All the gruffs wanted to do was kill me, clean, and that would be the end of it. I'd been carried into the darkness by monsters before. It isn't something I'd wish on anyone. Ever. You don't really live through it, even if you survive. It changes you. I pushed away bad memories and tried to ignore them while I thought. Some of the Hobbs had obviously taken their victims and run. According to the books, it was their modus operandi, though this entire attack seemed to indicate a higher level of organization than the average rampage. Obviously, whoever was behind it wasn't in complete control. Fairies share one universal trait. Their essential natures are actively contrary, and they are notoriously difficult to command. The Hobbs on the stairs were different from the ones I'd had to contend with at the front of the station. These all bore more advanced cutlery, probably made of bronze, and wore armor made of some kind of leather hide. To be clustered this thickly on the stairs, they had to have been at least a little organized, fighting in ranks, too. Something had compelled these Hobbs to attack in unison. Hell, if the numbers of fallen Hobbs in front of me were any indication, the gang that came after Michael and me were probably stragglers who had gone herring off on their own, looking for a little carryout to take home. So what had been the purpose of the attack? What the hell had drawn them all to the stairway? Whatever was at the top, obviously. Above me, the light of the holy sword flickered and began to fade. I chugged up the stairs as it did, still holding my fingers up to shield my eyes until the light dwindled and caught up to Michael. He was breathing hard, sword still raised over his head in a high guard and ready to come sweeping down. I noted, idly, that the stench of stagnant water had vanished, replaced by the quiet, strong scent of roses. I lifted my face again and felt cool, clean, rose-scented water fall on my face. Falling through the light of the holy sword had improved it, it would seem. The last Hob to die, a big brute the size of a freaking mountain gorilla, lay motionless near Michael's feet. What was left of a bronze shield and sword lay in neatly sliced fragments around the body. Its blood spread sluggishly down the stairs, coated with blue-white flame as its body was slowly consumed by more of the same. "Everybody can relax," I panted as I caught up to Michael. "I'm here." Michael greeted me with a nod and a quick smile. "Are you all right?" "Not bad," I said, barely resisting the temptation to turn the second word into a barnyard sound. "Sorry I wasn't much use to you once you waded in." "It couldn't have happened without your help," Michael said seriously. "Thank you." "De nada," I replied. I went up the last few stairs and got a look at what the Hobbs had been after. Children. There must have been 30 kids around 10 years old up at the top of the stairs, all of them in school uniforms, all of them huddled together in a corner, all of them frightened, most of them crying. There was one dazed-looking woman in a blazer that matched those of the children, together with two women dressed in the casual uniforms of Amtrak stewards. "A train had just arrived," I murmured to Michael as I realized what had happened. "It must have gotten in through the weather somehow. That's why the Hobbs were here now." Michael flicked Amarakius to one side, shaking off a small cloud of fine black powder from a blade as he did. Then he put the weapon away.
"It should be safe now, everyone," he said, his voice calm. "The authorities should be here any minute." He added in a quieter tone, "We should probably go."
"Not yet," I said quietly. I walked into the great hall, far enough to see the area behind the first of a row of Corinthian pillars that lined the walls. Three people stood there. The first was a man, of a height with Michael, but built more leanly, more dangerously.